Good morning. How's everyone doing? Well, I hope. Okay, on to the next chapter, Ezekiel 25. I call this one the prophecy of Ammon and Moab. I will go into a section here between 25 and 33 chapters where God is going to pronounce judgments against the surrounding cities or countries around Israel. And so let's open with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time for looking at your word. And help me, Lord, to be understandable and portray your word in an honored way to you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. So just real quick, I'll bring up a quick little map here. And we've been talking a lot about this area in the middle of the Lake Greens of the Kingdom of Israel. And of course, lately, it's been all about Judah, which is the lighter green area. But now we're going to move into these other places around. And God is going to actually have judgment on all of them also, quite a few of them anyways. And so today we're going to take on Ammon and Moab. So Ammon here is basically the area that of the current kingdom of Jordan. And so it's a basic area. And we'll talk a little bit about those two. And that's the first half of chapter 25. And then the second half is going to talk about Edom and Palestine, which is over here in the Gaza Strip area. Kind of interesting. So we'll take care of that tomorrow. So let's get into the word. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against the Ammonites and prophesy against them. So let's discuss a little bit about the Ammonites. The Ammonites, actually, a little background on them. It goes all the way back to Genesis 19, and a very famous story we know and love about a man by the name of Lot. And Lot had, you know, we remember the story of Lot, and he was in the Sodom and Gomorrah, and God got him out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Originally, him, his wife, and two daughters. Well, the wife kind of turned around and turned into salt, so all that's left was Lot and his two daughters. Well, the two daughters kind of thought that the whole world was gone now, and that they were the only three left in the whole world, so they had to restart the population. So they thought that the only way to do that was that they had to get pregnant. Well, the only man left was their father, so I think that's what they were thinking anyways. So they, figuring their dad would probably not go along with this plan, got him drunk, and actually, got him so drunk, I guess, that he actually laid with them, and they both got pregnant. And that, believe it or not, that they had children. We're going to read this in Genesis, and the children ended up becoming the people of Moab and Ammon, or the Ammonites and the Moabites. And so, let's just look at Genesis here. So recorded in Genesis 19:32 through 38. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, and that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night, and a firstborn went in and lay with his father, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. I had a little trouble believing this part, but okay, that's what the Bible says. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, Behold, I lay yesternight with my father, let us make him drink wine this night also. Go thou in and lie with him, that he may preserve seed of our father. And they made the father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab, the same as the father of Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Benamini, the same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. So this is where the two people groups started, way back in Genesis. Now flash forward a couple of thousand years, because we're going way back into the Old Testament, in the Genesis, and that's where these two people groups now, much larger, and that's where they originated from. So back to Ezekiel. It's also spoken about in Ezekiel 21, 28 to 32. Now, son of man, prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord God concerning the Ammonites, concerning their reproach. Even say thou, the sword is drawn for the slaughter, it is furbished to consume because of thy glittering. While they see vanity unto thee, while they divine a line unto thee to bring thee upon the necks of them that are slain of the wicked, whose day is come when the iniquity shall have an end. Sorry. Verse 30. Shall I cause it to return into its sheath? Dang it. Shall I cause it to return into a sheath? I will judge thee in the place where thou wast created, in the land of thy nativity. And I will pour out my indignation upon thee, and I will blow against thee in the fire of my wrath, and deliver thee into the hand of the brutish men, and skillful to destroy. Thou shalt be for fuel to the fire, and the blood shall be in the midst of the land, and it shall be no more remembered, for I, the Lord, have spoken it. So this is the proclamation against Ammon. Also in Jeremiah 9:25. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised. Egypt and Judea and Edom and the children of Ammon and Moab and all the area and the utmost corners that dwell in the wilderness. For all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in their heart. Also in Jeremiah 25:21. He's just commenting about the association of Edom and Moab and the children of Ammon. So Jeremiah 49, 1 through 6. Concerning the Ammonites, thus saith the Lord, hath Israel no son? Hath no he no heir? Why then doth the king inherit Gad, and the people dwell in the cities? Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will cause an alarm of war to be heard in Rabbah of the Ammonites. And it shall be a desolate heap, and her daughters shall be burned with fire. Then shall Israel be heir unto their whole, unto them that were his heirs, saith the Lord. Howl, O Heshbon, for Ai is spoiled. Cry, ye daughters of Rabbah. Gird you with sackcloth, lament, and run to and fro by the hedges. For the king shall go into captivity, and his priests and his princes forever. Wherefore gloriest thou in the valleys, in the valley, flowing valley, O backsliding daughter, that trust in her treasures, saying, who shall come unto me? Behold, I will bear a fear upon thee, saith the Lord God of hosts, from all these that be about thee. Ye shall be driven out every man right forth, and none shall gather up from up him that wandereth. And afterward I will bring again the captivity of the children of Ammon, saith the Lord. I have a long passage to get to that last verse, but I wanted to lead up. And comparing it to Sodom and Gomorrah along with Moab, we're over in Zephaniah 2:8. I have heard the reproach of Moab and the reviling of the children of Ammon, whereby they have reproached my people and magnified themselves against their border. Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Oh. Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, surely Moab shall be as Sodom, and the children of Ammon as Gomorrah, even the breeding of the nettles and salt pits, and a perpetual desolation. The residual of my people shall spoil them, and the remnant of my people shall possess them. They shall have for their pride, because they have reproached and magnified themselves against the people of the Lord of hosts. The Lord will be terrible unto them, for he will famish all the gods of the earth. And men shall worship him, every one from his place, even all the isles of the heathen. So that gives you a big rundown of all the different passages that talk about the relationship of the Ammonites and the Moabites, and also that ultimately their destruction. As I've heard other commentaries say, do you know any Ammonites today or any Moabites? They were totally destroyed back then, and except for in the Bible, you don't hear anything about them anymore. They were completely eliminated. But particularly when you get into some of the other texts, not so much the Ammonite and Moabites, but some of the other. Tomorrow we're going to talk about Edom, and Edom has a pretty rich history when it comes to God's wrath. And there's some today that even try to say that that the Edomites still exist, but you can't. I've never heard of a people group called the Edomites, but that's another story. You may hear people that comment about that. So on Ezekiel 25:3. And say unto the Ammonites, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God, because thou sayest, ah, against my sanctuary, when it was profaned, and against the land of Israel, when it was desolate, and against the house of Judea, when they went into captivity. Behold, therefore, I will deliver thee to the men of the east for a possession, and they shall set their palaces in thee, and make their dwellings in thee, and they shall eat thy fruit, and shall drink thy milk. Basically, Nebuchadnezzar is going to take over these areas and basically eliminate the people groups more, because that's what God wants. And he's going to take over the land and use it for, because it's really, really good land for growing things and for cattle and stuff. So it's going to provide food sources for Nebuchadnezzar. But one of the reference I found that Josephus, he's a historian from the first century. He wrote quite a bit about that time frame. Now, it's not scripture, but it's just history of the area. And there's some things we can learn from it about that particular area back in the early years of the Jewish nation. And he stated, Nebuchadnezzar turned around Ammon and Moab about 5 years after Jerusalem fell, and that it was given to the Arabs and it's occupied today. The spoils from the area were helped supply Babylon, and so it was completely destroyed as a people group, but the land used for crops. And the area today is occupied by mostly Bedouin Arabs. Talking about mostly, that's typically, and I think there's a correlation between, if you were around listening to some of my studies about Paul, I think Paul ended up spending time in those countries during the 3 years that he was studying with the Lord. And the Bedouin Arabs are actually still in existence today. They're somewhat of a migrating people. They live out of tents, and it's still mostly done that way today in 2021. Okay, verse number Ezekiel 25:5. Now I'll make Rabbah a stable for camels and Amorites a couching place for flocks, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. For thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast clapped thine hands and stamped with thy feet and rejoiced in their heart with all despite against the land of Israel. It's one of the chief problems that God had with these people groups, is they were cheering on those around that were attacking Israel. And particularly so when we get to the Edomites, they were, but also even the Amorites and the Moabites had their fair share of actually like ridiculing Israel. Verse 7, behold, therefore, I will stretch out my hand upon thee and will deliver thee for a spoil to the heathen. And I will cut thee off from the people, and I will cause thee to perish out of the countries. I will destroy thee, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. And what God says happens, because like I said, as of right now, you can't find these people groups anywhere. Interesting thing about Moabites, though, and I might get to it, but I'll speak about it. But the Moabites have an interesting history that actually involves the bloodline of Jesus. So I can't say that when they say a people group, I think it's important to realize that there can still be people that were very religious and not religious, I don't like that word, but very faithful to God, even if they're in a country that is very anti-God. But another thing is that these people groups thought they were protected somewhat by their power and their might, and that they couldn't be touched. Zephaniah 2:15 talks about this. This is the rejoicing city that dwelt carelessly, that said in her heart, "I am, and there is none beside me. How has she become a desolation, a place for beasts to lie down in? Everyone that passes by her shall hiss and wag his hand, like, I told you so." And so that's what basically a lot of these countries thought, that they couldn't be touched. But with God, anything's possible. Nehemiah also comments about it over in Nehemiah 4, 3 and 4. Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, "Even that which they build, it a fox go up, and it shall even break down their stone wall." Now let me give you a little what's going on here real quick, is that Nehemiah was building the city walls back up from the captivity of Jerusalem, and they were just the rocks were just all destroyed. It wasn't easy to work with. And here the Ammonites are coming by him. Tobiah was an Ammonite. He was mocking them still, saying, "Huh, you're never going to build a wall out of all that crap," you know, that kind of thing. That's what Nehemiah is saying here. "Hear ye, O God, for we are despised, and turn thy reproach upon thy own head, and give them for a prey to the land of captivity." So here Nehemiah is praying to God, to, can you kind of give these guys a little bit of a taste of their own medicine and stop them from causing us grief? But he actually did want them. He was a very faithful person. He went on to say, "And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders." So, another comment about how this particular people group was not very nice to people of faith. Over in Proverbs, though, 24:17 says, "Rejoice not when thy enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth." It's important to remember, it's hard to do, right? To not see it, you know, when somebody's been picking on you and causing you grief, that when it comes to them, somehow you almost want to say, you know, you want to jump for joy. But it's important to be a godly, try to be as humble as possible and not allow that to be, not to take it to heart. I think the best way to say it is that we should be praying for our enemies and not necessarily mocking them and making fun of them, and do our best to try to. And it's not easy to do, I know. Okay, on to verse 8. Now, 8, we're going to get into the Moab or the Moabites a bit. "Thus saith the Lord God, because the Moab and Seir do say, Behold, the house of Judea is like unto all the heathen." Now, I'm not going to reread all those passages that included Moab. I'll just touch on some other ones that have to do with Moab. And an interesting background on Moab is the famous story of Naomi and Ruth. And just to really quickly, if you read a great book to read, I love Ruth. It's a great book. And I'll just read a few passages out of it to explain what I'm talking about. Ruth 1:4. And what had happened is there was a famine in Jerusalem, Bethlehem area. And Naomi, who was married to one named Orpah, no, Elimelech. Elimelech and Naomi, let me start at verse 3 so you can see what I'm talking about. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. Okay. So at first, Elimelech and Naomi went to Moab because they weren't in the famine, and because Israel's having a famine just to survive. Now Moab was a culture that had pagan worship, but they stayed true to the faith of the Lord, and but because they had two sons that grew up there. Over in verse 4, the sons had taken wives of the Moabites. But the interesting thing, this is all foreseen by God, I think. And in verse 4 says, "And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years." And it goes on to say that the two sons ended up dying. So it's the only people left is Naomi, the mother-in-law of these two women, Orpah and Ruth, who both lost their husbands, which were Naomi's sons. And so here we had three women in a foreign land. They didn't really have, back then it was hard for a woman to have resources available. So Naomi had basically had told the girls that go back to your families and stay with them. And Naomi was going to head back to Jerusalem area of Bethlehem and try to survive the rest of her years. Well, fast forward into basically what happened is that Ruth, Orpah went back to her family somewhere in Moab. We never hear from her again. But Ruth decided to change and become a Jewish. I guess you would say that she goes on to say that I'm going to become Jewish just like you. I'm going to practice your religion and I'm going to pray to your God. And so basically she became faithful to the true God. So Ruth went back with Naomi and they lived together and they went back. And Ruth met a man named Boaz, and Boaz is actually who she ends up marrying. And Ruth and Boaz is actually in the family line of Jesus, or King David, which ultimately to all the way to Jesus. And over in Ruth 4:21 and 42 is where they show the genealogy of Boaz and Ruth. And I'll just read that real quick. And so basically, Ruth is a great grandmother of David, King David. But here in 4:21, and Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. So it's just to show that even though she was a Moabitess and she was put down, and here God is destroying the Moabites. I think it's important to remember that no matter what people group you are, that if you're faithful to God, that He's going to protect you. And that's what I was trying to point out in that little. But back to what we were talking about. I just love that story of Ruth. And so more about this particular area. We were in verse 8 of Ezekiel 25. Over in Psalms 83:4, it also mentions the Moabites. Nay, it said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may no more be in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent and the confederate against thee. The tabernacle of Edom and the Ishmaelites of Moab and of Hagarnice. I'm just commenting about this because of this prophet. Some consider this a prophecy. Well, I do too, but I think it's already been fulfilled, where others think it's still going to be fulfilled in the future. The tabernacle of Edom and the Ishmaelites of Moab and Hagarnes, and Gebal and Ammon as Ammon, and Amalek and the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre. We're going to get to the Philistines and Tyre here in a little bit, in a couple of days. And Ashur also has joined with them, and they have helping the children of Lot. So they're tying all these different people to the original children of Lot. And so what's interesting about this particular group is that they come against Israel. And some believe it happened in 1948 during the Independence War, where these same countries around Israel tried to attack Israel, and that they were but there are some prophecy teachers out there that believe that this is hasn't been fully fulfilled yet and will happen sometime either before the tribulation or sometime either just prior to the tribulation or prior to the start of 70 week of Daniel. But I mainly wanted to point it out that these particular people group, these particular land areas, are still people that don't like the Jews. And that right now, if you watch the news, you can see that all the countries around Jerusalem are constantly lobbing the rockets at them. So nothing much has changed from then till now. And what's interesting, if you look at some of these countries that I showed you there on the map, that they're areas that should have been destroyed even way back in Joshua's time, which I'm going to bring to show you here now, but that they were that Joshua's people did not destroy them all, and that's where the problem areas are now to this day, the Gaza Strip and the West Bank area. So speaking of Joshua, see. But interestingly, Joshua was told to destroy these people groups. And I think I thought I'd point out some verses that talk about this. Over in Joshua 13, mostly. I'm going to jump around a little bit. Starting in verse 6. All the inhabitants of the hill country from Lebanon unto Misrephoth the Maonim, and all the Sidonians, them will I drive out from before the children of Israel. Only divide thou it by lot unto the Israelites for an inheritance, as I have commanded thee. Now therefore divide this land for inheritance unto the nine tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh, with whom the Reubites and the Gadites have received their inheritance, which Moses gave them beyond Jordan eastward, even as Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them. Jump into verse 10. And all the cities of Sihon, king of the Amorites, which reigned in Heshbon upon the border of the children of Ammon. This is Joshua pointing out these are all the different people groups that they were supposed to destroy and take over the promised land. Jumping down to verse 17, Heshbon and all her cities that are in the plain, Dibon and Bemothaba and Beethaban and Jahaza and Kiath and Maath, destroying these names, and then Kirjathaim and Sibeonim. Is that very in the Mount of the Valley? And Bethporah and Ashdod-Pegah and Beth-Moth. Okay, finally to the verse I really was looking for. And all the cities of the plain and all the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, which reign in Heshbon, who Moses smote with the princes of Midian, Evi and Rekem and Zur and Hur and Reba, which were dukes of Sihon dwelling in the country. I'm jumping down to verse 25. And the coast was Jazer and the cities of Gilead and half the land of the children of Ammon unto Aroer, that is before Rabeah. And verse 32, these are the countries which Moses did distribute for inheritance in the plains of Moab on the other side of Jordan by Jericho eastward. So these are the cities that were supposed to be taken over by the Israelites. But they didn't do a very good job of it, and now you can see that there's still a problem to this day, actually. And that's what God is destroying here also, but now we've gotten to the point where these people groups have become so prevalent in the area, and they're mostly Muslim Arab type descendants, and mostly following an Islamic type religious system. So back to Ezekiel 25:9. Therefore, behold, I will open up the side of Moab from the cities and from his cities which are on his frontiers, the glory of the country, Beth-Imeon and Balamon and Kirjathaim. Those are some of the areas I just mentioned in that other list. Unto the men of the east with the Moabites, I mean Amorites, and will give them in a possession that the Amorites may not be remembered among the nations. And I will execute judgments upon Moab, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Well, okay, done with that tongue twister of all those cities. And that's all I really was going to have today. But just as a final thought, is that map again. And you kind of see the areas I was talking about. And right where we're talking about right now is the area right near the West Bank, which is actually on the other side of the Jordan River. But the other big one we're going to talk about tomorrow is Palestine city-states. And you see exactly where these are. It's in gray over here. That's exactly where Gaza Strip is today. And of course, Edom and is more, that one has a huge history, particularly when we talk about Petra, which is way down here in the south. And I'll have some nice pictures and stuff tomorrow to show you about Edom and Petra. Edom has quite a history behind it. Gets into a couple other books of the Bible, Obadiah, and I already started taking some of the notes for it tomorrow. But there wasn't enough time today to try to do the whole thing, so I broke it in two. So let's end with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time to look into your word. And help me, Lord, to stay true to your word and never to not to speak out of context when it comes to your word and your prophecies. Help me to understand your word and always relay it in an honoring manner. And I give you all the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, I will talk to you again tomorrow. Have a great day.